Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever panicked at realizing you've lost your lucky troll doll, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Pro football, full circle.
The internet is undefeated. Yeah. It really is. And it's not the crying Jordan meme, thankfully, I guess. But I have seen some of the funny ones, funniest ones ever. And some of the ones I posted might be considered a little bit on the, you know, appropriate scale, maybe to the far end. But I saw some even less appropriate ones that were hilarious. So kudos to the people out there with the time to make those memes, because it gave myself and my teammates a lot of laughs.
It's real talent.
We are full throttle ahead, heading into week number 9 of the NFL season. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz kicking it around for the next hour. Gonna get you prepared from the gambling perspective for the upcoming games. This coming Sunday, some news out of Cleveland. OBJ will be granted his full release. He'll be put on waivers on Monday, and teams will be opting for the star wide receiver. Which team is a potential fit? We'll get George's take in terms of which AFC or even NFC team could step up and get OBJ and potentially maybe strike lightning in a bottle in the second half of the year, maybe get back to his days at LSU in the early part of his career with the New York Giants and Eli Manning. But you look at that game last night in Indianapolis. What happened to Mike White? I mean, Mike White comes out hitting on all cylinders, takes off where he left off in terms of last week with that dominating 400-yard performance against Cincinnati, 34-31. He completes 7 of 11 attempts for 95 yards, a touchdown, and guess what? He hurts his forearm, doesn't come back the rest of the way. I mean, this ball game was not as close as the score indicated. 45-30, the Colts prevail. They do cover as an 11.5 point home favorite over the New York Jets. Josh Johnson came on in relief. But, George, I mean, if you're the New York Jets, you think everything potentially is going your way. Mike White playing very well. They tied the ball game up at 7. And then from that point on, the wheels fell off for the New York Jets on the road in Indianapolis last night.
Yeah, that was a pretty ugly game. It ended up being close at the end, and we almost got a cover out of the Jets, so they had a shot there at the end, couldn't quite pull it off there. I guess there are lots of points scored. I guess if you didn't watch the game, you thought, oh, wow, it must have been an exciting game. But as you said, that game was really over by halftime. Jets had a lot of garbage time points, and nothing went right for them. All right, you're already down Zach Wilson. Now you're down Mike White, although I think they both questionable to play this Sunday, and both might be able to go against the Bills next Sunday, not this Sunday. So, you said nothing goes right for the Jets. It's the Denver Jets here. I was still surprised that they were able to score that many points. I don't care if the Indianapolis didn't care. So they scored that many points. You know, you have third-string quarterback, no Corey Davis. I guess good for the Jets in some ways. If you're an optimist, you could take something out of it.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for me is in terms of the offensive, you know, weapons that they had. They utilized Michael Carter in the short to intermediate passing game. Carter did have a pedestrian 49 yards on the ground, but he did catch some passes, had some trick plays involved in terms of the early part of that matchup. Defensively, though, they couldn't shut down Jonathan Taylor. He had some running lanes early and often. That took the pressure off of Carson Wentz. Wentz stepped up with a 272-yard performance, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Jonathan Taylor pounded the rock for 172 on the ground and 2 touchdowns early in the first half.
I mean, when you see this team overall, I mean, Indianapolis, I'm talking about, they're starting to come into form. And now with the injury to Derrick Henry, they are starting to find an identity, pounding the rock with the physical offensive line. And if they can make a run, potentially, and get back into wild card contention, they might have an opportunity to make a deep run into the playoffs, assuming that Carson Wentz is not a turnover machine.
Well, I doubt they can make a deep run to the playoffs. They're looking at a wild card team. I'm not sure who they can beat in the playoffs with this roster as currently constructed. One thing the Jets did show again is the secondary has issues. If the Jets are going to throw on you, man, what are you going to do against better throwing teams? All right, I mean, you're going to have some problems there. I doubt they're going to catch Tennessee. All right, the numbers say you're 3 games behind, but you're really 4 games behind because you lost both games. All right, you're not catching them. That's not happening. So you're going for a wild card. You're right there in the wild card with a whole mess of other teams. Right, New England, everybody in the North except whoever wins that division. The Raiders, Kansas City, the Chargers. You know, it just goes on and on. That's a mess there. Who's going to get in there? They got a shot at the playoffs, and it'll be interesting to see if they can get in there. But I don't think they're going very far. Not as currently constructed. That being said, I do like that Frank Reich is finally giving the ball to Taylor. Let him be your main back. I still think Hines touched the ball too much last night, but they're letting him run. I think it's going to pay off for them in the end, take that pressure off of Wentz to be that guy. Let Taylor control the game. Let him keep that defense off the field. Let that offensive line go out there and maul. It's what they can do.
Yeah, and that's why I think there's the potential. And honestly, we have to see how the months of November and December form. But if they can run the football, especially in a playoff environment, they're going to have an opportunity maybe to steal a game, especially on the road. That's what you need to do. Pound the rock, force some turnovers, and then see if you can come away with a victory. We saw Phillip Rivers have that team in a position to strike the upset on the road in Buffalo last year. Couldn't get it done. Fourth quarter drive, though. We'll see. Anything's possible in terms of the NFL. When you have a solid offensive line, you have the potential to pull games out, especially in the months of December and January. When we come back, we'll get you prepared going through the full slate of action. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159, jumping right into the Week 9 slate in the NFL. Let's get right into it in that battle in Miami. Miami opened as a 7-point favorite at home in South Beach on FanDuel. It's down to 5.5, minus 115 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Tyrod Taylor did get the nod, hasn't played in 6 weeks due to a hamstring injury. 46 is the total. George, juice slightly to the over at minus 114. Miami needs a win in a desperate way. I don't love this game. I lean to the Dolphins under the critical number of 7. Tyrod Taylor starting doesn't scare me. There might be some rust. They've lost 2 close ball games. Give me Miami, but I lean to the under in this matchup. I don't know if Houston puts up much of a fight, even though they're on the road. He's a more explosive quarterback, but give me Miami. See the scores in the area of about maybe 31-10 in favor of the Dolphins.
Yeah, I don't see Miami beating anybody by 21. I do lean Miami winning the game here, but not by a complete blowout like that. Then I couldn't have to blow anybody out. No Parker. Devontae Parker won't play for Miami. Tua's got a swollen digit. He's got a swollen digit. We'll see how that affects his passing as well. Could be a heavy run game here with Gaskin. So I'm with you on Miami, but I don't see it being a blowout here. I would be betting the game. I am not going to touch this game. It's one of those games where I just don't want to watch. As for the over-under, I have no feeling here either way. I think, once again, it could be an under, could be an over. I probably do lean towards the under with you. So I actually do agree with you. I just don't agree with the blowout. I think it'll be a closer game than that. That being said, it's one that I hope to never have on my TV screen.
Oh, whoa. Okay, all right, we'll see. I mean, I want to see how the Dolphins respond after two close losses. I really do. I want to see if Brian Flores has this team up. I want to see the intensity level. I mean, you look at that ball game on the road in Buffalo last week. They got abused early and often. They cut it to 17-11, can't get a stop. And what I want to see, whether Tua's hurt or not, is can he get the football vertically to Jalen Waddle? He targets him around 12 times last week, 29 receiving yards. That's not going to cut it. That is not going to cut it at the end of the day. You got to stop looking for Gesicki every pass. You know, he zeroes in on Gesicki. I understand if it's not there, but at some point, you have to challenge them early on first and second down. So that's what I want to see. I think Houston's a much better home team in terms of covering the spread than they are on the road. We'll see how this one plays out. I do know that Buffalo abused them at home. I don't know if Miami is as explosive in the interior line, but I still think they're able to challenge that secondary over the top with players like Jalen Waddle. So we'll see how it plays out at 1 o'clock. This is a game I really like. Whether Dak plays 100% or not, whether it's Cooper Rush, I don't care. I'm taking Teddy Bridgewater. I'm taking the Broncos. They're road dogs, 9.5 on FanDuel. Dallas is a 9.5-point favorite, -114 total set at 48.5. That's down from 49.5 where it was much of the week. Juice to the over at -114. Broncos get rid of one of their dynamic playmakers over the last decade in Von Miller. It looks like they're just, you know, cutting ties with some of the older players. But I still think they have something in the tank to challenge Dallas coming off the emotional win on Sunday night.
Yeah, good luck with that. You want to say they're going to cover the 9.5 but lose? I can get into that. But Denver just doesn't have they don't have the offense to compete here. That's the problem. When you're playing with teams like the Cowboys and Tampa Bay, you've got to be able to score 27 points minimum, because that's what Dallas is going to put up minimum. Hell, they did that with Cooper Rush. Think about it now. Dak will play. He's fine. He's going in this game. The bigger worry for the Cowboys is actually their receivers. Every one of them is hurt. They're all likely to play, but this is where a depth at receiver really comes in handy for Dallas. Cooper's got the hamstring. We saw him Sunday night in and out of the game. Lamb turned his ankle in Wednesday's practice and has not practiced since. He will play, but he's banged up. We don't know if they'll activate Gallup from the IR with the calf injury. He practiced all of last week, practicing this week. He's close, but McCarthy has mentioned he wants to be 100% sure, so we don't know. Like I said, they're all banged up. Cedric Wilson's fine. And Cedric Wilson's turned out to be quite a find for the Cowboys. Good player there. So that's your biggest worry there. If these guys maybe aren't up to full strength. Tyron Smith, the left tackle, he's unlikely to play. That's putting it nicely. So they'll be without that, which means they're going to move their right tackle to left tackle, and Lael Collins is finally going to get back in there. He was the guy who was suspended, who maybe bribed the tester, maybe didn't bribe the tester. He's sort of showing up a test, but he's back this week as well. So Dak, I can see him getting off to a slow start here, and Denver does have a very good pass defense, but Dallas should eat here. The run game should be strong, and that's where I expect Dallas to go. And I wonder how the Broncos are going to react to trading Von Miller. You wave the white flag. Any way you look at it, you wave the white flag. Dallas 7-0 against the spread. Give me the Cowboys.
All right, now I will just say what Von Miller started the season fairly strong with 4 sacks, didn't play against Washington or didn't record a tackle in terms of that ball game. Hasn't really had a sack since basically week 4. So, you know, you can make the argument that, you know, he started fast, the emotional leader. We understand he was a great teammate and team player and really did a lot for the landscape of the Denver area in terms of the fans and nonprofit and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, in terms of, you know, plug and play, they can get that type of production from second and third teamers and still be okay to cover this 9.5-point number. And if there is some concerns of the offensive line, like you mentioned, along with the wide receivers, and maybe Dak is playing in this ball game, but let's just say he's 95% and not 100, I mean, Dallas could be in complete control and still not cover this number in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Denver gets a late touchdown. Dallas has done that a couple of games here, but that defense is playing much better. And listen, Miller's definitely not the player he used to be. I think we both know that. He'll do well with the Rams because everyone's still got to worry about Aaron Donald, Love, and Floyd there. So that's why he's got a lot of one-on-ones there, so he'll do some damage. But he's not the same player he used to be. But the problem with Denver is this. You don't have Miller. You don't have Chubb. Dak is likely to have all day back there to find his receivers. All day. And that's going to be the issue for Denver. I don't care how good your cornerbacks are, and I do think they're a very good secondary. If you're going to let Dak sit back there, or any quarterback sit back there for 5-6 seconds, he's going to pick you apart. It's not even going to be close. It'll be very easy. So that's the issue for Denver. Who's getting the Dak? Who's getting to him? So that's why I like the Cowboys a lot in this game. I think that's my problem.
All right. We'll see. Total-wise, you think it'll be an under? I mean, they were with Cooper Rush, they still moved the football through the air. I mean, he threw for 325. You mentioned Amari Cooper, 122 in terms of the leading receiver, had some big plays, including the touchdown. I mean, is it out of the realm of possibility that this team gets and both of these teams get to the 50-point mark? Because that's where you're going to have to be. I mean, there is money coming in on the under right now. I mentioned for much of the week it was 49.5. Now, entering the weekend, we do see a 48.5-point number here.
I lean towards the over. Like I said, the Cowboys are going to score points, and the defense has played better, but they'll let up some points as well. And, you know, the Broncos, decent running game. Fant, we don't know if he's going to play. He needs 2 negative tests here, so he's still a chance he could play. But they're deep at tight end anyway with Albert O. Sutton, you know, Judy's back. I think the Broncos could score, like I said, 21, 24 points doesn't shock me. And so I think Dallas is going to win the game. They got to get better than that. So, yeah, I lean towards the over. Not sure if I'm betting that yet. I'll definitely have props in this game, but I certainly lean towards the over, yes.
All right, we'll see how that plays out. Here's a game I love, and we'll get into it on the back end. Minnesota on the road against Baltimore. Minnesota, can they get up off the mat after the disappointing performance against the Dallas Cowboys? 6-point dogs on FanDuel, -106. Money coming in on Lamar. This line to open up at 5.5. It's up to 6. Total set at 50.5 in this matchup. I got to be honest with you. I love Minnesota to bounce back in a big way. Hate Zimmer, but I think this is a perfect spot for Kirk Cousins and the crew.
Not sure why you think. I mean, not that I mind you taking Minnesota, but not so sure why you think it's a perfect spot. You're playing Baltimore, coming off a bye, good defense here. Zimmer definitely hurts them with his play calling, how he goes about things here. I'm leaving this game alone. I think it's going to be a good ball. It'll be fun to watch, but I'm not touching it.
All right, we'll see. We'll talk about it on the back end about why I potentially feel this could be a sleeping giant after their conservative head coach Zimmer blew it last week. We're coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through week number 9, left off on that battle in Maryland between the Vikings and Ravens. Vikings, terrible performance. You talk about a line move, huh? I mean, Minnesota was 2.5-point dogs when Dak was potentially starting. When Cooper Rush started, Minnesota ballooned to a 4.5-point favorite, had the lead for much of the third through three quarters, blew it in the final 4 minutes of that ball game. Now they go on the road. I mean, the Minnesota faithful want Zimmer. They want him dead, buried, and fired. I mean, they can't stand the way he's... He really cost them 3 ball games this year. I'm not even going to go into that. I'm not going to go into how conservative and terrible he is. But I do know that on the road, they have stepped up. They are an explosive offense if they put the ball into Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson's hands. And I still believe that Baltimore is a one-dimensional offense, even though Lamar stepped up this year, been a better pocket passer. You're going to give me Minnesota in a must-win type of situation on the road with their playmakers? I'll take that. Plus, I like them plus 220 on the money line, George.
One thing about Minnesota could play into your thinking here. As far as the game against Dallas, listen, Kirk Cousins does not play well in primetime games. That's been well documented. He doesn't do all that well for whatever reason. So, Dallas also changed up the defense. Cousins likes throwing against man. Dallas went zone, which is unusual for Dallas, as they are a heavy man team. So maybe that took him off guard as well here. It's hard to defend Mike Zimmer. I said, I To me, it's old school coaching thinking that's not going to work in today's game. Unless you have a great team anyway. I think Bill Belichick made a mistake on the Dallas game, but he kept punting the ball with Dallas. I think Zimmer, almost the same thing here. Didn't take advantage of what could have been against the Cowboys. That game probably should have been over in the first half, but he played it too conservative. I disagree with you about Lamar Jackson. I think they're not a one-dimensional team anymore. He is throwing the ball very well outside of the numbers here. They had this extra week now to get Bateman involved, right? Get him now caught up here. And if he can be involved, and Marquise Brown, we made fun of him because he had the one horrific game against Detroit where he kept dropping passes. But he's been very good other than that. You know, if he's that guy again, it's a good offense. And Mark Andrews also isn't dropping the ball this year like he did last year. They can plug in anybody. You and I can be the running back for that team. We'll gain some yardage. They're that good a run team here. So I kind of like what Baltimore's doing. They're coming off the bye here. I think they take care of business. The only question is, do they cover the six? I do think it'll be a closer game than that. But once again, it's another game I'm not touching. It's too close for me to call.
All right, I like it. I like it a lot. It might be a best bet at the end of the show. You're going to have to wait to see how this plays out. Another underdog. I might be going all underdogs this weekend. Outside of Miami, I'll see this. But Carolina as a 3.5-point dog against New England. Okay? Now, we know Sam Darnold got banged up. We heard Matt Rhule say that the whole locker room loves P.J. Walker. We know that New England is coming off a dominant performance over Justin Herbert. Back-to-back games, right? They dominate the Jets. They put up a 54 spot. They follow that up with a dominating rookie performance against L.A. Now they go back on the plane. They go to Carolina. Looks like an ugly type of game. Carolina wins 19-10 over Atlanta. Gutty win. Give me New England? Nah. I'm taking Carolina outright over the Patriots. I think they step up. I think they stuff it in Mac Jones's face. There's nobody on Patriots that scares me from an offensive perspective. Give me the Panthers and the under in this ballgame.
Who scares you on the Panthers from an offensive perspective?
Well, DJ Moore's not bad.
Who's getting on the ball?
A quarterback, whether it be Darnold or whether it be PJ
quarterback.
Walker, doesn't matter.
They don't have one.
A quarterback.
You know, I'm not so Sam Darnold, but I'm not sure it matters. Belichick
has
Sam Darnold.
This game could be 6-3. This game could mirror.
Yes,
hang on. With both defenses, this game could mirror what we saw last week with Atlanta and Carolina. 10-9 at the half. They trailed for much of the first half, 10-3, and they just field goaled their way to a victory last week. It could be the same thing. I just don't know. Let me ask you this. I know New England stepped up in back-to-back weeks. They put up 54 and they put up 27. They were opportunistic from a defensive perspective. But let's be honest. Does the New England Patriots offense scare you when they're on the road?
No, but you mentioned they put up those points. And they probably should have beaten the Cowboys too. I mean, they should have won that game. They're playing better than what their roster tells us they are, and Carolina just has nobody. This is a team that just got beat up by the Giants a couple of weeks ago. All right, so I have no faith in them. Sam Darnold's iffy at best to play. And I don't know if I care if Sam Darnold plays, by the way. P.J. Walker, I think that'd be a disaster. McCaffrey, more than likely, not playing here.
Bill will take away. It's a shocker with McCaffrey. Every week, he's coming off the IR. He's not going to play. He's coming off the IR, always questionable. This guy, I mean, enough is enough already.
It's certainly frustrating. I'm going with New England here. I just don't like. I don't know where I can hang my hat on Carolina other than they're at home. That's it. I mean, they've done nothing here, and Bill will take away DJ Moore. He's going to take away the other team's best weapon, and that's Moore. Now, and other than that, good luck finding anybody else there. So give me the Patriots here. I don't really like the Patriots. You mentioned the offense is blah, but they're working with it. I do think this is a low-scoring game. I think it's a boring game to watch. It's sort of old-school football, 17-14 at the end. Doesn't shock me, something like that. But give me the Pats.
All right. Rematch of the playoff game a few years ago. Remember when Tyrod Taylor started against Jacksonville for the Buffalo Bills? They lost that ball game, 9-7 or 9-6? It was 7-6 game, 10-6, something like that. They covered as a 15.5-point dog, Buffalo did back then. Well, now Buffalo goes on the road to face Jacksonville. 14.5-point favorites, minus 112 on the FanDuel Sportsbook if you're back in Buffalo. Total set at 48.5, minus minus 110 either way. Urban Meyer, pathetic. Last week, I was on that total over 44.5. You beat Miami 2 weeks ago, come out of a bye week completely flat. Trevor Lawrence sucked. You better step up and at least score some points. I don't care if you get blown out, but you got to get over this total of 48.5. This is bad because I lean to Jacksonville here, taking two touchdowns to cover this number at home. Don't love it, but give me the Jags in this ballgame.
You got stones, man. How can you take the Jags after last week? I was
two
on the Jags last week.
Two touchdowns.
Against Seattle. Against Seattle on the road. I'm like, oh, yeah, they'll cover that. Might win the game outright there. Right? Seattle, they got, like you said, they didn't show up. Just didn't show up. It was so disappointing. So disappointing last week. And I get it. Buffalo is not playing well right now. Right? For a couple of weeks now. I mean, they beat? They beat Miami last week. Yay. You could have beaten Tennessee on that Monday night game. Maybe if Allen doesn't slip. But you didn't. But they're not playing well. Maybe it's middle of a season syndrome here where they know they have nothing really to play for. They're going to win that division by Thanksgiving and all that. But they're not just not playing crisp football here. So that's where you can hang your hat on the Jacksonville plus 14.5. And then not looking at the teams, generally when I see 14.5, I want to take the points. I do. But other than Buffalo not playing well, what am I hanging my hat on here? Can they score 14 points? I don't know. Buffalo's probably going to put 30-plus up. All right, so now give me the Bills here. I'm going to take the give the points away. I hate it, but I'm going to give it away here.
Do you feel confident about the over 48.5? If you think they're going to dominate them,
not after watching like Jacksonville last week, they couldn't score points against Seattle defense. It sucks.
They give up 38 to Seattle and Geno Smith, two touchdowns by DK Metcalf. It was 17-0 at the half.
They made Geno look great. Nah. We were ready to throw him overboard. We want the Seahawks to eat Geno.
I know. Listen, Bills win. They're laying the exact same number as they were last week at home to the Miami Dolphins. Found a way to cover. I'm going to take the Jaguars. I don't love it. This will probably be the week that it's a 7-point game for much of the way, and we'll be talking about the Bills being on life support. How could that be? I guarantee you it's going to be a crazy game. I know it already because everybody that was on the Jaguars last week is not going to go back to the well this week because it's Buff. I'm going to go back to the well. Why not?
I don't blame you.
Money burn. We'll see.
I don't blame you because theoretically we are supposed to take the points. It's a lot of points to give up that generally don't get cut. One late little score here, we're good here. So I don't blame you for taking Jacksonville. If Jacksonville didn't play so poorly last week, I'd be right there with you. But I'm not taking them ever again.
Yeah, we talked about potential spots for OBJ. They're going to be obviously without him this weekend. 2.5-point dogs, minus 114 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Joe Burrow and the crew, you lost to Mike White and the New York Jets. Come on, 11.5-point favorites. You're minus 106 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total, 47, flat, minus 110 either way. I like the dog here again, too. I like Cleveland. I like them on the money line, and I lean to the under 47 in this ballgame.
I'm with you on the under. I am. The game is close. My problem with Cleveland is they're sort of this team. We saw against Pittsburgh. They're not going to score a lot of points. You know, Pittsburgh has a very good defense. But they're not going to score a lot of points. It's not built that way. They're just not. And how'd the Jets beat Cincinnati? Through the air. They're not built to do that either. They're built to run the football down your throat. That sort of thing. That'll be successful against Cincinnati. It will be, but it's not going to lead to a lot of points, which is why I like the under. I think Cincinnati will rebound somewhat. That was a disappointing game last week. Your defense did not show up. Even the offense made some mistakes there. That really can't happen. It was a horrific call in that game. The penalty on the Jets' last drive, they gave them a first down and clinched the game for them. Dumb. It's a terrible penalty by the call there on the personal foul, but it is what it is. I probably lean more towards Cincinnati at home to rebound here, but I do not love it at all. It's just more of a rebound opportunity. In fact, I just think Cleveland also not hitting anywhere near on full cylinders. I don't think Beckham matters. He really wasn't a part of that offense anyway. But I think that hurts as well here. Landry's a little banged up. Give me the Bengals, but it won't be one of my favorites.
All right, we'll see. When we come back, we'll be ripping through Falcons and Saints, Giants and Raiders up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Big battle down in the Bayou. Saints coming off a very impressive win over touchdown Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Got that victory in dominating fashion. Now have to face Matty Ice in the Atlanta Falcons. Trevor Siemian will get the start over Taysom Hill that was activated off the IR. New Orleans right now, 6-point favorites on the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 110 either way. Total set of 41.5. Flat 110 either way there. Books don't have a real opinion in terms of which way they're going. I lean here to, this is the one favorite I do like. I do like the New Orleans defense going up against that offensive line of Atlanta. We saw Carolina get to Matty Ice early and often. Pressures, they forced them to methodically work down the field. I think it's the same thing going on the road here in New Orleans. But I will say the total, though, George, I could see this game getting over the 41.5. Don't love it. I'm back either way. I would say I don't have a play on the total, but I do feel good about the Saints in this ballgame.
Yeah, I'm with you here. I'm with the Saints as well. I don't like the fact they're starting semi. I think it's kind of strange. You paid Hill all this money. I know it's pretty much a one-year deal they get out of it, but you paid him all this money and you're not starting him. I got to believe he plays a bunch of packages in this game. Simeon's not going to do it for you. He's just not. He's just really a check-down guy. That's what he is. He's lower than a game manager as far as what we could call him. So I don't think points are coming at all here. It's a low under, though, 40. I mean, I want to take the under. I want to, but it's just too low for me at 41.5. And my problem with the Falcons is, where's your play? Who's a playmaker? Patterson is by far. Pitts is up, down, up, down. Russell Gage, yay. You don't have Ridley. You don't have Jones. You don't have anybody here. So I don't know where their points are coming from. It's New Orleans defense is playing that well. That well. I could see New Orleans playing a tricky here with Lattimore being on Pitts. Hey, you want to throw the ball to Gage? Good luck. You know, he's nothing special anyway. So that's how are the Atlanta Falcons scoring points? That's my problem here, Joe. How are they scoring points? I think in the end, I'm going to take this under.
Yeah, are you? I don't know. I don't feel confident with the under just because they're not going to be able to run on the front seven in New Orleans. They're not going to be able to – they're not going to run at all. They're going to be just chucking it every down. That's the only way they can win this ball game. The front seven in New Orleans is going to make them completely one-dimensional. The question remains, will Matt Ryan have time? If he has time – there is the potential for them to score some points. Now, I don't know. I could see him getting battered in this game. I'm playing this out in my brain, and I see Matt Ryan being sacked 6 or 7 times in this matchup on his back all afternoon, and New Orleans winning this ballgame by 17-plus. It just screams that to me, especially in the dome. I can't go against the Saints in the spot. Even with Trevor Siemian, I'm backing in. This might be one of my better bets. We'll see if it makes the list. Here's a game I feel strongly about. Raiders on the road in East Rutherford against the New York Giants. We talked about the COVID issues for New York. One of those players was Saquon Barkley that tested positive. Are there more? Before game time right now, Las Vegas, a 3.5-point favorite, minus 108. It is a 1 o'clock kick. Total is set at 46.5, juice to the over at minus 112. I like the Raiders, but I really, this is a game I do like. I love the over 46.5 in this ballgame.
Oh, you and I are in agreement here. I'm with you on both here.
Yeah.
How did that work out last week? I do like the over. I think points are coming here. I mean, I don't love it because I don't know who's going to be healthy for the Giants. We know Barkley's not playing. Galladay looks like he is going to play. Tony looks like he is going to play. Shepard's not playing. All right, so Slayton's banked up. Engram's banked up. We'll see what we have there. I think they'll both play. Raiders coming out the bye week, right? I know it's been a trying week. This is where I hesitate. It's been a trying week this week for the Raiders with what happened with Ruggs. right? So I think that could possibly cause a problem here, but this is also a distraction for them. I do worry about going cross-country for the 1 o'clock game. Generally not a good thing. But I think in the end this will work out well for the Ravens, because the Giants just too banged up. They looked like crap Monday night. Daniel Jones did not look good against a porous Kansas City defense. So, yeah, I'm on the Raiders, -3.5, and I think there will be enough points on the board to get over 46.5. I'm with you on both here.
Well, quickly before we go to the other game, could the Raiders be a potential suitor for OBJ now, what happened with the Ruggs situation?
Yes. Yes. I mean, in some ways, isn't that, I mean, maybe more of the Al Davis Raiders, but isn't he perfect for the Raiders? You know, the outlaw-type wide receiver here? And they definitely have a need for it. You could make it out they had a need before the Ruggs situation. So, yes, I think they're definitely in play there. They're in a playoff battle, playoff positioning, which would make Odell happy because he's going to get to choose where he wants to go. And you got to think Odell wants to go to a possible playoff team, and they're in first place in the West. Granted, it's a game over the Chargers, you know, a game and a half over Kansas City and Denver. It's going to be a battle there. But, yeah, I think the Raiders are definitely in play.
Yeah, we'll see. How about those Chargers on the road in Philadelphia? Laying 1.5, -110 either way on FanDuel. Total set at 49.5, down from 50 much of the week. -110 either way. No feel from FanDuel under or over. They're not juicing it. They're giving you an option. I still lean to the Chargers here. Have no confidence in the Eagles' defense, even though they're at home. Total, I would lean to the under strictly because I don't know if Philadelphia can get into a shootout. When we saw L.A. on the road earlier in the year against Washington, lower scoring game. Give me L.A., but give me the under in this ball game.
Yeah, once again, you and I are in agreement here. For similar reasons here. I think the Chargers rebound here, and I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles can get into a shootout at all. Hurts can't. He's not a very good thrower of the football. Not right now. You know, he's not horrific, but he's not good at it. The Eagles are, it's funny, they're a much better running team, and that is the one thing you can do against the Chargers. They're not a good run defense. So I think you see a lot of Boston Scott here, Jordan Howard in short yard situations, and even Gainwell get involved as far as short passes, which are pretty much runs anyway here. So I think there'll be some points put up on the board here, mind you, but I don't know if it'll be an abundance of points for the Eagles. That's my worry about the over. I would need the Eagles probably to get to the 20s, and I don't know if I'm going to get that from them. Just don't know if I'll get them that from them in this game. I think the Chargers' defensive line could do some damage and force Hurts to run all over the place, which generally is not a bad thing. He's a fantastic athlete here. But give me the Chargers here. That's the one I feel stronger about. I can't see them losing again.
All right, we'll see how that game plays out. It is a 4 o'clock kick in Lincoln Financial, so we'll see. George does like the L.A. Chargers, so do I, in that ballgame. The game in Arrowhead was supposed to be the game of the day until Aaron Rodgers tested positive for COVID. He will not start in this ballgame. Gives way to Jordan Love. They're 7-point dogs, the Packers are, on FanDuel right now. Kansas City, a lackluster win as a 10.5-point favorite over New York on Monday night. Total set at 48.5. Again, -110 either way. Completely flat. I know a lot of people in Vegas and New York love the Packers to potentially keep this game close. I don't see it. KC, this is a game that I think they break out. They can challenge the Packers over the top. I'm not sold on the Green Bay defense. I think Pat Mahomes throws for about 450 in this ballgame and out-duels Jordan Love big time. Kansas City by double digits over the Pack.
Yeah, I'm with you on Kansas City. I'll take the Chiefs in this contest. I mean, all eyes are going to be on the Packers. Jordan Love, right? Hey, you ticked off Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be gone after this season now, so let's see what you have in Love. Let's see what he looks like here. So we're all going to be watching Jordan Love to see how he looks with the football. And he gets a porous defense in Kansas City, although they looked okay against the Giants. I don't know what Love's going to do in this game. I don't think anybody truly knows here. So, yeah, give me the Chiefs in this as well. I'm probably not. I think I'm going to hit the under here because I don't think the Packers are going to score a lot of points. And I haven't liked the Kansas City offense. One thing I do like in this game, I will be checking the props when they're up for both Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. I think it's going to be a lot of runs. A lot of runs to try and keep that Kansas City defense off the field. And also to try and put Jordan Love in second and six, second and five. Those sort of situations here. So I'll be on those props big time in this contest here. By the way, how would Odell Beckham look in a Chiefs uniform? You know, take some of that pressure off Tyreek Hill. Because right now, that's what teams are doing. Safety over the top against Hill. They're bracketing Kelsey, and the offense isn't moving.
Yeah, That's possible. I mean, they have Mecole Hardman there. I mean, same type of player. I mean, he's a little bit younger. We'll see. I mean, it's an interesting fit. I could see it. Obviously,
wouldn't make my top three, but it's an interesting fit.
It is. It is. How about Arizona? 2-point dogs against San Francisco. This game was 17-10. First time they played a few weeks ago. Trey Lance started that game. This time it's Jimmy Graps. 48.5 the total. 45.5 the total on FanDuel. Again, we have flat action. -110. Either way, any way you cut it, slice it. Does Arizona all of a sudden go into a tailspin like they did last year? Do they have an identity problem? Are they still oozing with confidence after that loss? I'm going to go San Francisco. I like the way they grounded out that victory on the road against Chicago, trailed for much of the first half, but I think this is a spot where they step up, playing at home. Give me the 49ers in an ugly game here.
Well, that's why I'm going the under, because I think this is going to be an ugly game. So give me the under here. That's the one I feel best about. Listen, I'll just cheat here as far as the game itself. Murray hasn't practiced all week. If he's not playing, give me the Niners. And I know I'll probably lose another point or two on that total there. It's -2 right now, and I think it'll go to -4, -5 if Murray's out. Right now, he's just not practicing. So they're calling it. No matter, this is one of those weird ones, Joe, because everyone's calling it something different. I've heard from several people who cover the team, oh, he's playing Sunday. And I've heard from others who say it's a 1 to 3 week injury. Well, that means he's not playing Sunday. You know, so I don't know who to believe here. I think it's going to be a true game time decision here, which is going to drive everybody nuts, because we may not find out till 4 o'clock on Sunday. But that's where I'm going. If Murray's plays, I am probably going to take the Cardinals. If he's out, I'm taking the 49ers.
I'm taking the Niners either way. Whether he plays or not, I still think this is a bad spot for them. I think the physicality of the offense and defense aligned for San Fran can get it done. Total, it's tough because I just see these teams putting up points with or without Kyler Murray. 45.5, I mean, we've seen Arizona's defense step up in recent weeks, but I don't think they're as dominant as they are statistically right now. And I think that offense can exploit them. Players like Deebo Samuel, if they can get Brandon Ayuk involved.
It's
I mean, Elijah Mitchell.
I think they'll have the
opportunity to score points. I think the
PPR,
the game plan was very
Tyler
vanilla first time around. Shanahan needs to open it up. I like Tennessee, too, George. I love dogs this week. Tennessee, 7-point dogs against the L.A. Rams. Derrick Henry lost for the year. This is the Sunday night game. 53 and a hook. Juiced to the under. Heavy at -118 on FanDuel. You're going to give me a team that has knocked off Indianapolis, Buffalo, and Kansas City in 3 straight weeks. I don't care if their best player's not there. A.J. Brown's there. Julio Jones, veteran quarterback. Give me Tennessee +7 Sunday night.
Well, I care that they lost their best player because they lost their identity. All right, so that's a huge thing for them. There'll be no more 8-man boxes. Right? Adrian Peterson is not Adrian Peterson anymore. He was signed, by the way, to the 53-man roster, so he will play Sunday night. So good luck with Peterson, McNichols, they are the foreman, whoever it might be. Listen, it's 7 points. So I'm a little wary of that, but I think Tennessee's got to figure out what works here. How healthy is Julio Jones? We haven't seen in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be more on the Rams here, and I'm probably going to go the under as well.
All right, we shall see. Monday night's game, Bears and Steelers. We'll pick it up along with Best Bets coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show with best bets. We could bounce back a little bit last week. Let's jump right into it. I'm going to give a pick two for Monday night's game. We'll break that down next week. But Chicago plus six to me is appealing on the road. It's not a best bet, but I do like the Bears against Ben Roethlisberger Monday night. We'll break that down, obviously, next week. Let's jump right into it. I said I like a lot of dogs, and I do. Minnesota on the road against Baltimore, catching 6 points. I think they win this ball game outright. I think Dalvin Cook with a big day. Kirk Cousins as well. Gimme Zimmer and the crew as road dogs, like the Vikings to step up plus the 6 points. Home dog in Carolina. New England doesn't scare me after back-to-back wins. More importantly, back-to-back road matchups for the Patriots. You go out west, you come to Carolina. Love the Panthers in this spot. How about Cleveland? I think Cincinnati reverts back to form with Zach Taylor. Then Cleveland wins this ball game outright. And then Kansas City minus the 7. I like Kansas City minus the 7 in that ball game against Jordan Love. And then the total in Las Vegas and New York over the 46.5.
Yeah, I'm with you on the total in Vegas Giants. I'm on that one as well. I'll take the Vegas Raiders plus 3.5 as well here. I'm going to be opposite with you in New England, Carolina. I'm on New England here. I just don't see how Carolina is scoring points in that game. Not unless Sam Darnold plays and McCaffrey comes back. No, thank you. I'll take the Chargers minus 1.5 against Philadelphia. And I'm going to go with that Green Bay game as well. I'm going to go the under. I just don't see how points are being scored there with Jordan Love. And since I need Mahomes to play better. Just need to see him play, but the offense isn't clicking there. So I'll take the under there as well. As for the Monday night game, there are a lot of games, by the way, this week, Joe. Not many points are going to be scored.
You know what that means? That means the grand salami of 565 and a hook could be live. I'll throw one more. I forgot to mention Denver. You could add that as well. I love Denver over Dallas, covering the 9.5 for George Kurtz, our great producer, Andrew Torres. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy the games. Week number 9 already. We'll see you next week.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.